Well, it's wonderful to be able to hear, you know, that we as a church is a community. Church is not just the people come, gather together, sing, take a seat, hear a good sermon. Church is about sharing life. Sharing life is what makes the church different from the world. And we must learn what Jesus said, you know, what the Bible said, that the weak bear the strong. You know, one time when people got needs, we must go and help those in the household of faith so that one day when we got need, they will also help us. Now, children, you can go to Children Church now. The Lord bless you. Well, we come to the message this morning. One of my first newsletter, and that was in 1992. That's a long time. 1992, I wrote the wise word of Henry Ford. Henry Ford is the founder of Ford Motor. I know if you stay in Australia many years ago, it was the battle between Ford or Holden, which is a better car. And to my idea, I always like Holden. You know, so Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor, wrote this word, coming together is the beginning. Staying together is progress. Working together is success. Henry Ford is right, and he's correct and wise. The corporate world understands. Coming together, staying together, working together. Together, they work for the success of what? Of the company. How much more should the church? How much more should the church? Their togetherness is for profit and gain. Ours is for Christ and his cause. Never about self, always about Christ and his church. I'll tell you something that may shock you. You may not like to hear. We die. But the church of Jesus Christ march on. March on till Christ return her. Can you understand? As we come together, stay together and work together for what's next for us. What's next for Grace City Church? I believe and declare from God's word that our future together is good and prosper. Because it's promised in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plan I have for you, said the Lord. They are planned for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Would you embrace this promise? This promise that God has saved for us, will you embrace it together? COVID-19, it came as a surprise to all of us. The world is not ready for it. The church is not ready for it. In fact, it readjusts and redefines our life. Our personal life gets upset. Our family life, our social life, our work life, our church life. All get turned upside down. 13 weeks, we worship at home. Then followed by worshiping with restriction with 20 people. Today, we can worship with a norm of 150 people till mid-July. I encourage you, keep praying. Keep washing your hand. Use the hand sanitizer when you come in. And keep a social distance whenever possible. On Tuesday morning, I sent out my weekly update on where we go from here with COVID-19. It's not over yet. Second wave can happen like in Melbourne. Do not be complacent. When I sent out this last email at 5 5:57. 2 hours later, 5:57, I receive a text from a prophet to me telling me this. The new normal challenged us to consider a fresh paradigm of doing church. Yesterday morning, I got an email from Robin Hewson. We all know Robin Hewson. We supported her from our mission giving. Thank you for everyone who have been generously giving to mission. And she received my last weekly update by mistake. Not that I intentionally sent to her. With a long list of names, I just click, 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 click. By mistake, I click her name and she received it. And she said to me yesterday morning, thank you, Stuart, for including me in your weekly update. Although you are in Australia, I am in Monzambi. The reality of God pushing progress, process in our hearts and life as he put everything on hold are very much the same. Your words, what I wrote there, resound deep within me. And I found myself saying, yes, that is true, many times as I read. Thank you, my friend. History tells us that the church is not static. The church is dynamic. Her methods may change with changing time, but her message is an unchanging message, especially in a time where society at large do not believe in absolute truth or individualism prevails. This morning, the title of my message is not just another sermon. I have preached more than 1,000 sermons. This message today is a pastoral message to you, to the church. It's a message from the hearts of the pastors of Grace City Church to you. My message to you entitled, Embrace the New. Say the word with me. Embrace the New. It's taken from Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to verse 39. This is Jesus. He spoke of a parable. He said, no one tear a patch from a new garment and sew it on the old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskin. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new one. Immediately, straight away, he said, the old is better. When something new comes, it often brings this word called change. Change is not a comfortable word. It can be scary and it can be stretching. We live, and we love to live with the routine and maintain the status quo. It is safe, it is secure, no surprises. Our heartbeat is between 60 to 100. When it is one straight line, you are in trouble. So in living life without change, is living in a straight line. I think of myself going to the same restaurant. I don't know about you. I always go to the same restaurant, ordering the same menu. And I want to tell you, from the time my wife know me to now, my eating speed has not changed. Eating at the same speed. Pauline asked me, how about something new? My simple and straight answer to my dear wife, no, stay with what we know. But there's something about life we cannot avoid. This word, change. Physical change. Not only aging, but you have less energy and vitality. I'm telling you, now when I climb up the ladder, my leg is not as strong as it used to be. Psychological change. You see and think differently with age and with life experiences. After you have been burned, you see things differently. How about social change? How many of you are still close with your high school friends? Don't blame yourself. Your life takes different path with time. Hopefully, there is also spiritual change taking in your place, changing to be more and more like Jesus. We cannot avoid change or grow without change. The question is this: will we resist change or will we embrace change? This is the question. But let me tell you, firstly, all of us are firstly resistant to change. We see change as what we stand to lose. What am I going to lose with change? Rather than what can I benefit? We see change negatively rather than positively. Do you know that Jesus Christ is a change agent? He came to change religious tradition, formality, status quo, and the old order. The old order was exclusive. The new order is inclusive. The old was select a few, the chosen people. But the new is all whosoever believe. God is the God of the new. The Bible speaks of new things, new wine, new song, new heaven and new earth, new covenant, new mercy, new heart, new spirit, new life, new creation, and the new man. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Jesus at the end of this age proclaimed in Revelation 21 verse 5, "Behold, I make all things new." When the new comes, are we like the religious leader in Jesus' time who resist the new rather than embrace the new? Luke 5. Jesus was having a banquet at the house of Levi, the tax collector. There was singing, eating, and drinking. The religious leader saw it, and it was a no-no in the old order. The old order tell them, you cannot eat with sinner and tax collector. Later, they came to Jesus' disciple about fasting. They asked him about fasting, his disciple, while they were eating. How often do you fast? The disciple could not answer them because with Jesus, it looked as if there's a lot of feasting. The disciple could not answer them, so they turned to Jesus, their teacher. The religious leader was so uncomfortable with Jesus because they are so comfortable with their routine. And this Jesus' new approach of doing things was troubling their status quo. Jesus does not do the way we do. He's upsetting our establishment. There's when the parable of the new garment and the new wine was taught by our Lord Jesus regarding embracing the new. In the ancient world, they don't have a glass or a plastic bottle. So what do? They take an animal, they kill it, take the skin, sew it together, and that skin become like a canteen. But this skin will become bitter and will break and it will spill out the liquid. Jesus talked about this wineskin to teach us about change. Not many people are keen for change. It's all right that others need to change, But leave me alone. I'm happy where I am. Yet change is a part of life. Whether we embrace it or not, agree with it or not, run with it or not, is bound to happen with or without you. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah that the Jewish nation have been believing and hoping and expecting and waiting. But when he stepped into their world, they expect him to be the same as them. But he stepped in differently, and they were not ready to embrace the new, the change in religious order from the old to the new. This is the principles of life. New situation always require new structure. You start a new job, you require to learn new skill. A new relationship often requires new ways of relating. New opportunity require new strength. The question to you is, will you resist or embrace the new, the change? Personally, I do not like change. I like to do the same old, no surprise. Every morning, 2 pieces of bread. One side is butter, the other side is kaya. Now, I want you to know, from my experience, kaya tastes better than jam. And one side butter, one side kaya, and what do I have? A cup of coffee. Every morning. And the coffee must have milk, no sugar. I know my wife is very happy because I'm easy maintenance. But COVID-19 was a wake-up call for me. Doing the same thing in and out. Hear my heart. Doing the same thing in and out. Sunshine or rain, I will still do it. It became mechanical. The work must be done, and it will be done. All of a sudden, everything stopped. I tell you what, God got my attention. I have time to seek, to think, to revalue, to readjust, and to refocus for myself and on what next for the church. In speaking to many pastors, COVID-19 has made them sit down and rethink about church, what they are doing. For months, I wrestled writing the weekly update. I'm telling you, I'm a man who find it hard to put thoughts into a piece of paper. I find it hard to bring thoughts into a word. I have limitation. I struggle writing to you. I struggle with technology. I struggle with how to do church differently. And what's next for us? Then the question with the lockdown and restriction is, how long will this take? How long will this lockdown go on? How do we restart the church when the restrictions are lifted? How do we get you out of your comfort zone? Watching live stream at home is comfortable. You can watch with your pajamas. You can walk with your 2 slices of bread and your cup of coffee. It's very comfortable. How do we get you out of your comfort zone and your fear to come to church again? COVID-19, a wake-up call. I think not just for me, not just for Grace City Church, but I believe it's also for you. When we launch this team, see, I'm doing a new thing. It was far from our mind that COVID-19 would hit our shore and change our life to the new norm. Live stream and Zoom were new things to us. But we thank God for the dedicated team and the fast learner in the church that is able to maximize the tool of technology. We are coming together at one place as one church to worship is the beginning. Will you embrace the new? The new for resources, for synergy and strength. But to embrace the new is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. We must stay together and work together for success. This success will benefit us, will benefit our children, and will benefit our children's children. We are not here forever. My heart for Grace City Church is that it will be a church for generation after generation, that we lay the foundation for the next generation. This is my heart. The need, the new, do not need to be stressful, frightening, and disadvantaged. It can benefit you and your family. When you see the big picture, God is in it. He has been preparing us prophetically. See, I'm doing a new thing. He has been preparing us personally with COVID-19. And He has been preparing us purposefully from the beginning of the year. Embrace the new. How do you and how do we embrace the new? There is three C that I want to share. Firstly, you need to embrace the new with courage. Say the word with me, courage. Not with fear, not with doubt, not with opposition, not half-heartedly. The new is uncharted terrain, unknown, untested, uncertain. That's why we need courage to embrace the new. When courage is absent, fear, doubt, unbelief steps in. And when it steps in, it brings discouragement, disillusion, and distress. I think of Joshua. Faced the new challenge, the new land, the new opportunity. And he was commanded to be strong and courageous. The same commandment was given to Moses, Hezekiah, and Solomon when they were given a new task. And I'm telling you this morning to be strong and to be courageous from the word of God. Without courage, there is no way we can know the fullness of life that God has planned for us and for us to experience. I look at all of you here. Most of us sitting here are migrants. If you didn't have the courage, you wouldn't have come to Australia. If you didn't have the courage, today you will be where you are back home looking. If only I have the courage to go. You want to embrace the new? You need courage. Even though you do not know everything, you need courage. Maybe you are afraid of the unknown when you embrace the new. Let me talk to you about Abraham. Abraham did not have an open book. God did not outline everything to him when he asked him to step out to the new things that he has for his life. The new thing that he has for him and his family. He courageously believed God and allowed God to lead him a step at a time. That said it, a step at a time. Some of us say, if I can see everything, I can go. No. Courage said, I believe God, He will lead me a step at a time and a day at a time. Yes, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. Being scared and unsure is part of our humanness. But God commands us and empowers us to be courageous with the same word He gave to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you whatever, wherever you go. You need courage to do the right thing. You need courage to take the next step. Courage to go forward. Courage to let go and dream again. Courage to believe in your future. And now, courage to embrace the new. Let me tell you about courage. Courage is contagious. So is fear. So is doubt. Courage is contagious. The courage of Joshua inspired the people to believe and take the promised land. Just one person's courage is able to have a multiplication effect to inspire another or a thousand. Your courage to embrace the new is going to inspire and empower others. It's going to give us an opportunity, new strength, new possibility to what's next for us. We are not embracing the new alone. Our Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful one, the head of the church, is right here with us. He is not far. He is not uninvolved. When we do not know what to do, he does. He is never tired, never weary, never take a break. Embrace the new with courage. We are not alone. We have who? We have God. And we have one another as we journey to the new. Courage. The second thing you need to embrace the new is called conviction. Conviction is a willingness to stand up for what you believe and what is right. Conviction is, I am convinced. If you watch The Voice, one of the judges is George Boy. Boy George or George Boy? Boy George. He always will be a boy. Boy George. In 1980, you know how Boy George rose to popularity? Because of one song. The song that he wrote and he sang is this song, I'm a Man Without Conviction. George was a convictionless person. More than ever, in our time, in our generation, for our children and for our children's children, we need to be men and women of conviction who say we are going to do the right thing, whatever the consequences are, even if it's hard, difficult, and stretching. We are going to please only one person, one audience, and that is Jesus Christ. Conviction. The person in the Bible that speaks a lot to my heart about conviction is this man called Caleb. You remember Caleb? A man of conviction. He stood faithful to God, to God's promise, to the word of God, to what he saw with his eyes, while others grumble, cry, waver, you know, and complain. Caleb's conviction was so strong that he was able to rise against the pressure from others and refuse to join them, refuse to toe the line with their negativism, doubt, and rebellious way. He stood firm, unshakable, unmovable. That's the man of conviction. This is what I believe. I'm convinced. When he was 80, he stood before Joshua to claim the promise. He said to Joshua, give me this mountain. I am as strong today as when I was 40 years ago. We love to read godly people in the Bible. We find strength from their example. Faithful Noah, the faith of Abraham, the integrity of Joseph, the perseverance of Job, the passion of David, the boldness of the prophet, the dedication of Apostle Paul. Why are they in the hall of faith? Why are they there? It was because of their conviction to what God said to them, and they stood to their conviction under pressure, under ridicule, under persecution, under stress and distress. Their life inspires us because they were real people, flesh and blood like you and me. They have weaknesses like you and me, but there's one thing they have. They have this conviction. I am convinced. I believe. And they put their conviction into practice. They make mistakes. They sin. They struggle at times. But their conviction, they put into practice. And it shows to our character. We have this conviction. We have this conviction of prayer. We pray for unity. We pray that we will work together. We have this conviction. This is the time as we embrace the new to have this conviction put into practice. We must embrace the new with conviction. The conviction that grace is our family, our community, our home, and our house. Thank you, Wayne, for sharing the testimony this morning. We are not here to touch and go. We are here to connect and grow. We are here to make life together. And I pray that we will grow all together. We are here not to get only, but to give. It's not about me. It's about us. The conviction of staying together and working together for the success of the house. Embrace the new with conviction, because I believe it is advantageous, it is beneficial, and it is good for us, for our children, for our children's children. Because I believe, as we have always said, and as I always declare, that God will build a multi-generation church here, in this great house. We must be convinced, have this conviction. This is our church, our community, our family. And we can love God and love one another. Yes, there are other houses, more bigger, more fanciful, and more big, beautiful than this house. My neighbor built a double-story house, take almost a whole block, so big that even block my view. But no matter how expensive is his house, nothing like where? My house. Even if it's a small house, it is still my house. I must be convinced. This is my conviction, that this is our house. Embrace the new with conviction. This is our house. This is where we are planted to grow and to groom in the grace of our Lord. So embrace the new with what? Courage. Embrace the new with what? Conviction. Now you have to embrace the new with creativity. When we use this word creativity, we think it's only for selected few. Artists, musicians, you know, and those who are very strong with their right side of the brain, the creative mind. But I don't know about you, I'm more left side. The logic, the reasoning, you know, the arguing side, the thinking side. But one thing I'm thankful, and you will say amen with me, whether left brain or right brain, at least we have brain. Say amen to that. Not no brain. You know. But our God is the creator. Our God is a creator. And he is creative in nature. See how he placed the sun, the moon, and the star in the right place. And then he created everything. And declared, it is what? It is good. Whose image are we created in? We are created in his image and his likeness. There is creativeness in us. Some more than others. Some are empowered with creative gifts. by the Holy Spirit. I mean, in this house alone, Pastor Kara is a very creative person. Ivan is a very creative person. Welna is a very creative person. I mean, you give them an idea, they can come up with something beautiful. But for me, I'm a box. Mean, not her head. Not just a box, I'm a square box. I am black and white. No color at all. Don't come to me with creative idea because I'm not creative. But some are creative. Last year, Debbie came to me with her creative idea, Toddler's Jam. From an idea, a ministry and outreach was launched. Others came along to share and work with the creative idea. It was good for that season. We stopped it because of COVID-19. We are believing God for what next. We worship together. Now let's work together with creativity. Think outside the box. There are more than one way to do the job. How can we do it better? How can we be more creative to touch the community? How can we connect more creativity, more creatively? How can we creatively serve one another in the household of faith? What are three things? Embrace the new with what? Courage, with conviction, and with creativity. And this is what Jesus said in this parable. Do not say the old is what? Is better. This parable is found in three gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three gospels. Jesus talked about this parable. Only Luke's gospel is this word, verse 39, recorded. What does verse 39 say? And no one, having drink old wine, immediately or straight away desire new. For he said, the old is better. The New Living Translation, the old is just fine. This verse shows us that it's a common reaction. Common reaction. Immediately and straight away, the common reaction to the new or change is the old is better. The old is just fine. How many of you realize that? But something needs to be fixed. The old fridge that I have, it's still working. But I hope it will stop working. But there's something, like something is dead. And it's not working. It has to be fixed. But it's common for us. The new may not seem as good as the old. But over time, say the word time. Give time. Over time, the new will become advantageous, beneficial, and good for us. What it means when Jesus said, don't say that the old is better, it simply means this. To embrace the new and make the new work, we must receive the new and give time for the new to work out. It's not just receiving, I embrace the new. But also the what? The next side, the process. The process of making it work. The process of making it work. The adjustment that is needed, the grace that is needed, the creativeness that is needed, the courage that is needed, the conviction, the process of making it work. I work with the new. Amen? But let me share with you, what caused people to resist the new? I ask myself, why do people resist the new? Would I resist the new? There are three P's, and these are the resisting force to embracing the new. It's the same with husband and wife, in relationship, in any way. Why do people do not want the new? Why do people do not want change? Let me tell you these three resisting P. First one is pride. The big I, all about me, and forget is about Jesus and us. Pride. The second P is prejudice. This preconceived idea. And this preconceived idea of this is how it must be done, it will always have to be done this way, is not based on reason or actual experience. Thirdly, preference. My way or no way, not what is best for all. Are you ready and willing to receive and embrace the new? With what? Courage, conviction, and creativity. Together, we trust our Lord Jesus for the new, for what next for us. He is the head of the church. This is His church. He loved His church. He died for His church. And He's coming back for His church. Embrace the new, with courage, with conviction, with creativity. Let me ask Pastor Kara to come and conduct the communion.
Wow. Wow, the new. We are coming together. This morning we are coming together for the new. And I'm seeing a lot of us here. And this signals the beginning, like what Henry Ford says, as what Pastor quoted just now. This is a beginning of the revelation of what God wants to show us. Just now what Jack said was so powerful in Colossians 1, 26, 27, that God's mystery wants to be revealed to us. And I just am in total agreement with Pastor and the church board that this is a coming together for a new thing, a new knowing of the mystery of God that is full of wisdom and knowledge. This morning, I just feel the word very strongly in my heart. I've been meditating on this word for a long time. And it's this word called knittedness, a knitting of our hearts. This morning, we are going to lay aside our old threads. You know, when it comes to knitting, you've got the old thread and the new thread. We are coming together to embrace the new thread. Those who are in Osborne Park, where are you? Raise your hand. Raise Osborne Park campus. Right. And those who are from the Nolamara campus, can I see your hands? Right. Those are old threads. Today, we've got new threads given by the Lord. And this morning, we are here at communion to knit our hearts together. The Lord says in Mark chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many," He said to them. The word covenant is a Latin word for coming together. It's to come together to make a binding contract. And in this new covenant, Jesus uses His blood to commit Himself. He says, "I'm going to commit myself to be knitted to you. I'm going to be your blood brother," Jesus says. "I will knit my heart to you." And then the same thing, as Jesus shares this covenant with us, He says, "Not only do I want to knit my heart with you in this new way, to let you know the mystery of the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus by coming together, I want you to knit your heart one with another." And it says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, He says, "You are being knit together in love." There's a new thread this morning. New thread. One thread. One new thread. And we are going to be knitted together in love. Knitted with God in a vertical relationship with Him, and then knitted in a horizontal relationship with us. And today we celebrate the coming together of the two campuses as one. We are now one new thread, knitted with God and knitted with one another. Let's hold our cup. And also the bread. And let's just take some time to just enjoy this knitting with God, with our new purposes with God, our new season with God. And then also sensing the experience of a new knitting, one with the other, with the neighbor next to you, with the neighbors across the other side, a knitting of our hearts together. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time. So good, Lord. You are so good. First of all, you are our blood brother. You commit yourself to us by spilling your blood on the cross, so that, dear Lord, we can call you our brother, so that, Lord, we can be related by blood. And we are so thankful that you are with us, knitted in spirit with us, and wanting to show us new things and good things. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, body that is broken for us and blood that is spilt for us, so that we can enter into the most glorious part of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, Lord, we thank you for this new union. Wow. Dear Lord, thank you so much that in your mind, you figure this out. You figure this new work in this church at this time, that there's going to be a knitting together of the hearts and the souls and the purposes of your people. Grace City Church, wow, Lord, put us in your map. Oh God, put us in your map. We are Grace City Church, one location, one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your work that made all this possible. We are your covenant people, and we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat and drink. Wow. Pastor's going to come and give us a benediction and pray for us. It's amazing.
Would you stand up? Lift your hand to the Lord. I'm going to pray the priestly blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, we thank you that you bless, you keep, you make, and you live, and you give, O God. That we stand as a people to receive all that you have for us in Jesus Christ. Complete and fully paid, O God. And as we enter to the new, give us that grace and strength, the courage, the conviction, the creativity to embrace the new. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't be in a hurry to go. Stay outside, have fellowship, connect with one another, and let's make it work.